Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, good morning, Ben. It's Saturday, September 4th. September, October, November, December. You're going to be in Hawaii soon for the Century Tournament of Champions. Well, welcome into the clubhouse. This is the Golf Club on the radio, streaming live around the world. Aloha from Hawaii and podcast, too. It's all at radiogolfclub.com, podcasts there or wherever you get yours. Great lineup. I've got Ron Syrah, Golf Channel contributor, Jonathan Wall, senior equipment writer, golf.com, Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest, and Mark Rolfing, Golf Channel commentator and analyst. You know, we've got golf. There's a Tour Championship Korn Ferry Tour. There's the DS Automobiles Italian Open on the European Tour. There's a Tour Championship on the PGA Tour, the FedEx Cup finale, if you will, and the LPGA Solheim Cup and LET, they're at Inverness Club, Toledo, Ohio, and wow, the score right now, it's 3.5 Europe to USA's 1.5, and they're going to start off pretty soon with the four ball this afternoon, so we're going to have to watch. It's on NBC right now, sometimes on Golf Channel, sometimes on NBC. Be sure just to, if it stops on one, just go to the other. All right, we're going to thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show, brought to you by these fine sponsors. MD Restoration, water, flood water, broken pipe cleanup, call 24/7, licensed contractors too. Raynor Garage Doors, steel, aluminum, and wood. Ready to hang or custom made, sales and service. That's Raynor Doors. Aloha Power Equipment's new mega store is now open across from Costco Ibile. We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment's Waipahu store and now in Ibile. And now, here's Danielle Tucker.
Oh, that's right. Get into it with Mark Rolfing and, of course, Golf Channel analyst, commentator. You'll see him at Ryder Cup. Welcome into the clubhouse, Mark.
Well, thank you, Danielle. Good morning, and what a weekend we have going in professional golf, huh?
Yes, it's very, very exciting. I was watching Solheim Cup when I got up this morning, and I couldn't believe how strong everybody was, but I really need to talk to you about how you're about to fly to Whistling Straits. How long are you going to be there?
I'm going to be there for almost 3 weeks, Danielle. Our first live show on Golf Channel is next Wednesday in the morning, and that's going to be when Steve Stricker makes his captain's picks. Remember, because of the pandemic and the postponement of the Ryder Cup, Stricker's got six captain's picks. Six of his 12 players are going to be his captain's picks, so it's going to be a big day. We do a live show there, and then I begin hosting a series of Road to the Ryder Cup shows starting next Sunday on NBC. So I'm going to be all about the Ryder Cup for 3 weeks here.
That's fantastic. What's Whistling Straits like?
Oh, it's a very interesting course. You know, people tend to look at it because it's on the lake. It's on Lake Michigan, and Lake Michigan is so big, it looks like an ocean, that people get the impression that it's sort of a link-style course, like you might find in Scotland and Ireland, and therefore it would be a course that would favor the European side. I don't believe that's the case at all. It looks like a links course, but it doesn't have any links characteristics in the way it plays. It is a peat dye golf course. It's very long. It's very penal. There's something like 1,000 bunkers out there. You can't even tell what are bunkers and what are sandy areas. Dustin Johnson found that out when he got a two-stroke penalty a decade ago in the PGA Championship there and lost it because he didn't know he was in a bunker. It's a wild, wild golf experience, and I think it's going to be fabulous for the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it looks beautiful in photographs. I've never seen it in person. So right now, I understand, Colin Morikawa, Dustin Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, and Patrick Cantlay, they're in already.
Yeah, those are the six that have qualified. They are on the team. When I look at the next six, there are three locks. There are three guys that absolutely are going to get captain's picks. And that is Tony Finau, who barely got edged out by Cantlay. Finau finished seventh on the points list. He will get a pick. So will Xander Schauffele, and so will Jordan Spieth. That then leaves it down to three spots. I'm pretty comfortable that Harris English is going to get one. I think he deserves one. He's won a couple of tournaments, including Century Tournament of Champions on the PGA Tour this year. I think English gets a pick. So that now is 10 players. So I think there are six players vying for two places in Captain Stricker's team. The six players are Daniel Berger, Patrick Reed, Sam Burns, who's also won a couple of tournaments, Scotty Scheffler, Kevin Na, and then Webb Simpson, who may be the odd man looking out, because Simpson is the only one of those players that's not in the Tour Championship. He didn't qualify in the top 30. So I think you got six guys fighting for two spots on that team this week.
Well, okay, let's break a couple down here. I get Scotty Scheffler, Sam Burns, Kevin Na. Kevin Na is hot. I mean, he's playing right now. He's tied for fifth in the Tour Championships, and he's been playing. I had no idea that the man has already earned $36 million+ playing professional golf. I got to ask you. I get Daniel Berger. Yes, I have a problem with Patrick Reed. I mean, he went into the hospital with double pneumonia in the lower lobes, which I find fascinating for someone, an athlete, a young athlete, getting double pneumonia. That's usually reserved for very senior people. And now he's out, he's playing, and, you know, can he hold up through a Ryder Cup? What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't know. You know, I'm kind of with you on Patrick Reed. I would think he could be on the outside looking in. You know, I followed several of his matches in Paris 3 years ago where the Americans just got demolished. Reed played with Tiger Woods on Saturday morning in a foursomes match and was horrible. Hit a ball out of bounds off the tee, hit two balls into water hazards off the tee, and he and Tiger got drunk. You know, I think the question for Stricker really is going to be, you know, Europe has been on a big roll. Other than 2016, Europe has won five of the last six Ryder Cups. So is the U.S. going to try to do something different in this Ryder Cup, or are they going to try to do the same old thing? And, you know, the technical meaning of the word insanity is, you know, do you do the same thing over and over again. Different results?
Yes.
I don't know. My guess is that if you were to make a pick like Kevin Na, that would be an out-of-the-box kind of pick, and maybe it's time to do something like that. Na's got two things in his favor, I believe. Number one, he's a fiery kind of player, and the U.S. is going to have to come out with some fire at Whistling Straits. Believe it or not, I still think Europe is favored. It may not say that on paper or PointsBet or DraftKings or FanDuel, but heck, as far as I'm concerned, until the U.S. can rest that cup away, Europe ought to be favored. They've also got the two guys that are probably playing the best right now. Certainly Rahm is for sure. You know, right at the top of their lineup, they're very, very strong. The other thing about Na, Danielle, is he's a fabulous putter. And putting is so important in match play, and in particular, a format like foursomes. We just saw the Americans get pummeled in the Solheim Cup in foursomes play this morning. And a lot of it was because of putting. And putting in foursomes is so difficult. You as a player might go four, five, six holes, maybe as much as an hour and 15 minutes, without actually hitting a putt. And it makes it difficult then to all of a sudden face a seven-footer on a hole if you haven't actually putted because of the way the shot pattern has fallen. So I don't know. I like Na's chances to get a pick because he is such a good putter.
Yeah, yeah. And Webb Simpson, you know, he's very steady.
Yeah, he's a steady player, but he's not in Atlanta. He's a veteran of the Ryder Cup, but I guess the big question for Stricker and his vice captains is going to be, you know, do we like veterans right now who have a lot of baggage in the Ryder Cup?
Mm.
Or is it to do something different. I will tell you, amongst the players that I'm talking to, the two guys that I think are getting the most attention of that group are Daniel Berger and Scottie Scheffler. Scheffler's got a lot of players that believe he ought to be on that team. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if these last two spots on Wednesday morning go to Berger and Scheffler.
Does it make sense for the captain to say, okay, I want you to tell me who you want to have play with you on this team?
Yeah, you know, he has done that. Believe it or not, Stricker took the six players that qualified to dinner Wednesday night in Atlanta. So actually, Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka were sitting at the same dinner table with Stricker. Hopefully that little, you know, feud or big feud that it is now is going to get behind these guys, because if they have a divided team going into Whistling Straits, they'll get beat again. Yes, the pairings are really important. Right now, there is only one team, Danielle, that's set, one pair for the U.S., and I can tell you who that is. That is Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. They are bosom buddies. They have very likable, like styles in the way they play. They played great as a team down in Australia at the President's Cup, and I think that team is a pairing. I also think, for example, that Jordan Spieth, who Justin Thomas is really rooting to get a captain's pick, and Spieth will get one, I think you'll see Spieth and Thomas as a team. So therefore, Patrick Reed probably is the odd man looking out. Jordan Spieth didn't want to play with him back in Paris and didn't. So I don't know if there's anybody that's saying, oh, wow, I want Patrick Reed as a partner. You got to pick him.
Got it. Now, the European team you were talking about, we've got John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Rory McIlroy, Bernd Wiesberger, Matt Fitzpatrick, Paul Casey, Victor Perez, Robert McIntyre, and then you go down and you find Victor Hovland, Lee Westwood, Richard Bland, Shane Lowry, Danny Willett, Sergio Garcia, Justin Rose. I mean, some of these guys have been off, but this is a really strong fold to pick out of whomever the captain's picks are.
Yeah, it is. You know, now Europe only has three captain's picks as opposed to six for the U.S., so not nine guys qualify for Europe. So Harrington's job as captain is going to be easier. The concern I have for the European team is right in the middle of their lineup. The two guys that aren't playing very well that they need to play well are Tommy Fleetwood and Tyrrell Hatton. I'm not worried at all about McIlroy. I'm not worried at all about John Rahm. They're going to be tremendous. The other guys that I'm not worried about are two of the captain's picks that are certain in my mind, and that's Ian Poulter and Sergio Garcia.
Oh, yes.
We know they can do it at a Ryder Cup. They will get picked. Both of them have been in pretty good form lately. So I think it's the middle of the lineup for Europe that's going to have to come around. And I'll tell you who I think could be a sleeper for that team in the Ryder Cup, and that's Victor Hovland. I wouldn't be surprised to see Hovland play all five matches, and I could see him winning 3.5 or 4 points easily.
Absolutely fabulous, and I totally get it. Do you think, at some point Tiger Woods is going to be somehow involved in the Ryder Cup, isn't he?
Well, I think only as a cheerleader. Tiger's not going to be there. He's just not physically ready yet to go up there and go through the grind, even as a vice captain, of having to go around the course and do a lot of walking and that type of thing. He will be involved to lend support, but, you know, especially now with Phil Mickelson as a vice captain, and that was a great move. And I have to say, I thought it was really huge on Phil's part, because for a while there, he was holding out for a captain's pick. He wasn't going to get it. He hasn't played well enough to be on the Ryder Cup team. To announce early, though, that he's going to be a vice captain is a really important thing. And believe me, Phil, in a lot of ways, this is going to be Phil's Ryder Cup team, I think. Uh-huh. He will likely be the next captain when they play back in the U.S. at Bethpage in 2005, I think. And so I think Phil is maybe going to be the biggest influencer of that entire group. And he's a good one. A lot of these younger players, you know, just absolutely love Phil. He's mentored a lot of them. The other problem, he's mentored some of the European guys, including John Rahm. He's really good at that. But, you know, all in all, I just think there's a lot of intrigue. It's going to be a fabulous Ryder Cup, which I believe Danielle, has become the most compelling event in golf.
Yes, couldn't agree with you more. And Solheim Cup, very compelling. Tiger Woods, now he shared on Twitter for the first time, wishing everybody good luck in the Tour Championship. And of course, he couldn't help but share with that kind of a video clip of all of his great moments. And who can forget the grandeur of the fans sweeping behind him as he went down to the green, and Rory McIlroy going, I'm out of here. It was pretty intense, and it didn't seem to bother Tiger at all. But have you heard how he's doing?
Yeah, I think he's doing okay. I would say okay at best. I'm sure it's very difficult for Tiger to have the kind of patience that you need to do a rehab for the kind of injury he had. It's a very, very severe injury, Danielle. And for a competitive golfer to have an ankle like that when your lower body is so important in your swing, and particularly when it comes to generating power in today's modern game, I don't know. I think the rehab is harder than Tiger expected. That's likely the case. He wishes so much he could be at at Kohler. He was at Hazeltine a few years ago when Americans won the only Ryder Cup they won in the last decade. I know Tiger misses it, and I'm sure this is just a very, very hard time for him. So it's hard for me to really gauge. Do I think he'll ever play competitive golf again? I don't think so. I saw Jack Nicklaus say, Tiger will be back. Wouldn't be surprised to see him win another tournament. I think that's a real long shot.
But our prayers are with him, always.
And that's, for sure.
That's the most important thing. Let's go back to Phil. The rant, the attack on the United States Golf Association about, word is USGA is soon rolling back driver length to 46 inches. This is pathetic. First, it promotes a shorter, more violent swing, injury-prone, doesn't allow for length of arc to create speed, and during our first golf boom in 40 years, our amateur, he writes, golf body keeps trying to make it less fun. I guess Mr. Mickelson doesn't want to give up that he has a very long shaft, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. But I must tell you, Danielle, I'm kind of with Phil on this one, and a lot of times I'm not. But I don't like any of the things that are being considered. I don't like the rollback of the golf ball being considered, frankly. I also think if you take a look at the length of the driver, to me it's such an arbitrary thing. And if you've got a player that happens to be 6'8" tall, he deserves to be able to use a longer club than a player who's 5'8" tall, whether they're professional golfers or amateur golfers. I am really starting to gravitate, just so you know, toward the bifurcation way to go here. Mm-hmm. I truly believe that for us to be talking about equipment for 1% or 0.1% of the players in the world, the best players, is ludicrous. We're spending way too much time talking about it. I haven't heard any recreational golfers, when I go around the golf course out at Alawai and talk to players out there, not one person has said to me in the last 2 years, I'm hitting the ball too far. I'm just not having any fun. The ball's going too far. I'm going to quit the game. They're not doing it. That's not happening. So forget what's happening with players at Phil Mickelson's level, and let's pay attention to what's the best thing for the average recreational golfer. And to me, that is to have the most fun, and having fun means hitting the ball as far as you can.
Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with you more, and I think bifurcation is a really good idea. And if someone wants to play with what the professionals are playing, they can always buy those. It's not like that.
Yeah, and if you do it in other sports, the equipment, we're starting to watch high school football again here in Hawaii now, Danielle. Those players don't use the same size football as you're going to see Tom Brady playing with Thursday night when the NFL opens. As people grow older, their hands get bigger and the equipment changes. It doesn't have to be the same size football for Tom Brady as it does for the quarterback at Lahaina Luna High School.
Yes, absolutely. Got to go to Solheim Cup. And I need to give you a little bit of an update here. You know, it's 3.5 to 0.5. And I'm really surprised that our team captain has separated the Cordas. Nelly Korda is going to be playing with Ewing. Kupcho is playing with Salas. Thompson is playing with Harrigay. Ano is playing with Altomare. So they're on that side. And then we have Kutz Madsen playing with Sagstrom, Chiganda playing with Popoff, Nordqvist playing with Gastrin, Hall playing with McQuire. And this is in the four ball after, you know, taking a real hit in the foursomes. We're better at four ball, aren't we? Because we're playing our own ball.
Yeah, absolutely, we're better at four ball. And who would you least want to play on the U.S. side if you were Europe? I believe you would least want to play against the Korda sisters.
Yes.
I have not heard from Pat Hurst in terms of what her thought process was on changing this up. It seems like a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to me. I think Korda and Korda are the best four-ball team the U.S. has. And for them to not put those two out there, I would have put Korda and Korda out in the first match this afternoon and said, hey, Europe, bring your two best and see if you can beat these two in four-ball, because you can't.
Yeah, there you go. And they're playing their own ball and putting from where they expect their ball to land. That makes all the difference in the world, I think.
I would have liked to have made an early statement this afternoon with those two, but I don't know. I'm sure Pat Hurst and her vice captains had their reasons.
Absolutely. Well, is there anything on the table that you didn't get a chance? Is there a burning desire for you? Oh, I know what I want to ask you. On the agenda at the Alawai for the neighborhood board meeting, there was something about the golf course, Alawai Golf Course. Have you heard anything?
Yeah, I've been over there quite a bit the last few weeks, and, you know, there's a lot going on there, which is good. The Top Golf discussion is definitely on the front burner. I think you're going to see some movement there. You know, actually, the Alawai Golf Course is doing quite well right now. Play is starting to come back after it was so depressed during the pandemic. But the thing that's really happening that has me excited is that the Army Corps of Engineers in the city, which are working on a flood plan, they've been working on a flood plan for 20 years, you know, and haven't been able to make much progress on it. But they're now realizing that Alawai Golf Course is a perfect place to stop all the water rushing down from the mountains, you know, before it gets to Waikiki. Golf courses are really good at that. And for the first time, we're actually working in conjunction with the Army Corps to talk about what kind of flood mitigation measures could be utilized within the golf course design itself to help stop the water. And that doesn't mean building a big wall around Alawai Golf Course. It simply means incorporating some tributary streams and lower areas and things like that within the course. And for the first time, I'm kind of seeing you know, a coordinated effort there. And I got to hand it to the new mayor and the new administration, Rick Langiardi. He's done a great job of kind of getting everybody together for the first time and saying, let's not have all these individual conversations between government and federal government and Army. Let's get everybody in the same room. And we've done that a number of times already.
Excellent. Fantastic news. Thank you for sharing. Mark Rolfing, golf analyst, golf commentator, Golf Channel, NBC Sports, Top Golf Hawaii, and we are going to be getting everything we need to know about the Ryder Cup from Golf Channel, NBC, and Mark Rolfing. Thanks for being on the show.
All right, yeah, tune into that Ryder Cup, everybody. It's going to be a corker.
How could we not? Aloha.
Aloha, Daniel.
Got equipment on our mind. So much going on in the business. And, of course, our next guest has quite the foothold in that department. He was actually Jonathan Wall is coming up, actually, after Alex Myers. Jonathan Wall, senior equipment writer at golf.com, was with the PGA Tour equipment writer and reviewer for 6 years. So we'll talk to Jonathan, but first, Alex Myers is in the clubhouse, social media, the grind, after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
On the Road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now. 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all.
Aloha.
Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
Golf balls. Do you get fitted for golf balls? It's all a part of the whole fitness. You need to get fitted for your ball. We'll talk about that coming up. However, you want some free golf balls, right? Absolutely. Tampa Pro Shop started as a hobby, turned into something very big, very wonderful. TampaProShop.com. Go there. They've got the Labor Day specials going on. Tampa Pro Shop has golf balls, accessories, clothing. They feature major brands like Bridgestone, Encore, Golf Pride, Blue Tees. They're based in Tampa, Florida. They ship all over the world and join thousands of other golfers who get their best golf products and cost savings through Tampa Pro Shop. Their reputation is backed by their 90-day money-back guarantee. If you're not happy, they'll pay to have it shipped back to them. And if you buy over $99 worth of goods, not hard to do in the game, it gets shipped to you at no charge. So, courtesy of Tampa Pro Shop, we have a box of Bridgestone E12 contacts for you. The ninth caller. That's all you got to do. Be the ninth caller. The number is 808-545-1111. 545-1111. Give us a call.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Alex Meyer, senior writer, Golf Digest Magazine. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Hey, Danielle. How you doing? You know, I got a little scared. You started saying we were going to talk equipment. I was like, oh, boy, that's not my area of expertise. But obviously, you're talking about the great John Wall.
Yes.
Later. You know, it's funny, if I just may, John, when I first started working at Golf Digest, John, we were both two of the youngest people there, and he was working in production for the magazine, and I was working in production for the website. So neither of us were getting to write or do anything like that. And John, you know, moved around a bunch and did whatever, and he really found his niche, and I'm really proud of him. And I think that just shows everybody, you know, if you want something, just keep working hard, go out there and get it, because he does a tremendous job, and I'm sure you'll have a great talk with him.
Yeah, and you do a tremendous job.
Every
Tuesday, you come out with some of the inside information, and the column is called, if you haven't read it yet, go to golfdigest.com and search for The Grind. It comes out on Tuesday, right?
That's right. It comes out on Tuesday. It used to be a little easier to find. We had a bit of a website redo, which overall was good. About a year ago or so, but it's a little tougher to find. I hear about that because my mom, you know, she has to try to find it too. So, but yeah, no, you can find it. It's definitely, it comes out on Tuesday. Thank
good,
you, Daniel. I appreciate that.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to do something. I want to loose the butterflies from now on. I think we should have like butterflies on golf courses. I don't know. For those who missed it, there was the most wondrous, magical moment I've ever seen. PGA Tour broadcast. It had this little butterfly all of a sudden saw the golf ball, Brooks Koepka's golf ball, going toward the, and the little butterfly just danced around it and danced and followed it all the way until it went in the hole, and then it off it flew. It was that amazing?
That really was amazing, actually. I mean, it shows you how quick those little things are, right? I mean, that thing was tracking Brooks Koepka's ball almost from the second he stroked it. And, I mean, it really looked like it was helping it go into the hole. So, if Steve Stricker could bottle a few of those up and bring them to the Whistling Straits, I think the U.S. might have a better chance, because that thing was really excited, it seemed like, to help Brooks's ball go in. And Mike Tirico, of course, was on the call. He gave fantastic butterfly, go get it! And he said, now we're flying. And I thought that was great. So that shows you that those guys are so skilled, right on cue to just come up with stuff like that. But yeah, that was a cool moment.
It was a cool moment. And you're absolutely right. Exactly. The coolest part about it was it seemed like the butterfly was helping the ball into the hole. It was wonderful. When you do your podcasts, do you Be Right for Golf Digest too?
Yes, I do. Yep. I do a lot of things, Danielle. You know how it is. You got to do a bunch of things these days. We got the Be Right podcast, which is our gambling podcast. You know, and it's also, we talk a lot about the past week's tournament and recap. So it's more of our, what's going on tour podcast. And then I'm one of the hosts for our Local Knowledge podcast, which comes out every 2 weeks. And we do deeper dives into some subjects. I just did one on Tiger's 25th. Anniversary of turning pro. I couldn't, it was kind of a pinch myself moment, actually. The guests on my show were Jaime Diaz, Brandel Chambly, and Darren Rovell. I mean, those are the three guys that I'm hosting, doing a podcast on Tiger Woods. I mean, just 10 years ago, I couldn't have imagined something like that happening. So that was really cool. But yeah, I think we do, obviously I'm a little biased, but I think we do a pretty good job, and we have a lot of different angles of content coming for you on the website.
Now, with those guests, how could you go wrong?
Exactly. They make me look good. I mean, it's easy when you have guests like that.
Yeah, so, but in the Be Right podcast, you had Dan Hicks on.
Oh, yeah. We get great guests on that, too, and Dan is tremendous. We'd had him on the old podcast a couple times. We had him this week ahead of the Tour Championship. Dan is, obviously great guy, longtime golf broadcaster for NBC, obviously also Mr. Swimming for NBC as well during the Olympics. So this has been a huge year for him. That was a fun conversation. We always like asking him about Michael Phelps versus Tiger, and his career has kind of overlapped with both of those legends' careers. So Dan has had an amazing run, and even he, I think, was surprised. I kind of brought up that he has a 30th anniversary coming up at NBC next year. So the years fly when you're having fun and you have a great job.
Absolutely. So what did you learn from Dan Hicks during that podcast?
Yeah, well, I mean, not surprisingly, he likes this new FedEx Cup finale format where, you have that. It's a weird way to start the tournament with someone already having a lead, as Patrick Cantlay had a 2-stroke lead. And then it's kind of staggered from there. But from an announcing point of view, Dan said, man, this is fantastic, because it used to be, hey, so-and-so's winning, but, man, if this guy finishes T4 with three other guys tied, then they might win the FedEx Cup. And you used to have Steve Sands on there with that whiteboard just drawing up different formulas and this and that. So it was a lot more confusing. And he agreed this format's a lot better. And we also asked him about the whole Bryson Brooks thing. And, he was just there at the BMW Championship, and of course he's up in the tower, but, I think he realized that some of this stuff's getting a little out of hand too. So, that was an interesting thing that the PGA Tour did, to step in there and kind of, but I think it's kind of smart. They did it a couple years ago at the Ryder Cup at Hazeltine, when the fans were getting a little unruly, for that Sunday singles as well. So sometimes you just have to draw the line, I think.
I don't agree with Dan. I think they made it more complicated by doing all that analysis. I just think that the fans want to watch the 30 players go up against each other. Mm-hmm. Giving somebody 2 strokes on the guy, it's like he started 10 under. I mean, it's like nuts, and the other guy starts.
I agree, Danielle, but once you get past that first day, then it just looks like a normal leaderboard.
Okay,
right?
Fine. Yes, I'm going with the flow. I just think it's weird.
I got you. No, it's definitely weird.
Yeah, sure, yeah. It's very strange. So, let's kind of reverse up a little bit here. When you talked about, Jay Monahan coming out and the PGA Tour commissioner and saying, you know, hey, no calling people names, certainly not the name they're not born with, you know, don't be disrespectful. That doesn't hold here. This is golf. You've all got to be respectful. My goodness, you know, somebody pointed out to me that, you know, 30 years ago, there weren't a whole lot of respectful people on the course either. When, you know, your guy is losing to somebody else's guy, things get a little heated. Sure. Do you think Bryson went and, you know, talked to Monahan?
I do. I think Bryson had been working this for a while. I think he'd been upset the issue here, obviously, is that even though this is partly Bryson's fault, no doubt about it, he and Brooks Koepka have both been kind of trading these little jabs through social media or whatever for a year now or whatever. I think it's helped them both raise the attention that they're getting. And of course, this happens to be this year where the PGA Tour introduces the Player Impact Program, which guys are going to get money for kind of drawing buzz. So I think there's no mistake that these guys kind of wanted that to happen, but I think it got a little out of control and Bryson didn't like it, and for whatever reason he seemed to get the brunt of it versus Brooks. So yes, I do think he'd been kind of working for some sort of resolution behind the scenes for a while. But you know, it's tough, Daniel, right? Because as athletes you do have to deal with adversity, no doubt about it. But golf is different in that, you know, if you play for the Yankees and you're Derek Jeter back in his heyday, you know wherever you go, you're going to get crap from all the opposing fans. But you know when you come to your home, you have a home game and you have the crowd on your side and they're giving the other team crap. In golf, there's no home games. It's each week. So if Bryson's going to have to battle this stuff every week, it is a little unfair. And where I would worry about it is that these Brooksy yells, you know, they seem silly, but what if someone yells it during his backswing, and then we start that to happen?
So that's wrong.
I think you do have to, exactly, and that could actually affect the play, how things happen on the, you know, turn out, the outcome. And now we have a lot of gambling as well, so we don't want illegitimate results here as well. And so it's a slippery slope, and I think the best way probably is to just cut it off, because unlike those other sports, when these golfers hit the ball or putt, there's dead silence. That's just how the sport is. So it's a little unique with golf, and I think overall it was probably smart to just try to stop this before it got even more out of hand for other players.
Good point. I wish he would just not have, and it's easy for me to sit here and say that. I'm not the one taking people, you know, getting all the vibes, but he does do things that just brings it on. The fact that he walked behind Brooks Koepka during that television interview, and he knew he was walking into Brooks's quote-unquote spotlight. Anybody who sees a camera and walks into it and then turns and looks, I mean, it's like, hello. And that's why I totally understood why Koepka went, oh, rolled his eyes like, seriously? Are we, you know, at what point?
Yeah. No, I agree, and you're right. He has brought some of the stuff on himself, and certainly some of the comments he made recently, I think it was really the vaccine comments that got people criticized, which whatever your viewpoint on the vaccine, his reasoning was illogical and just not right. And he got called out on that, and instead of saying, oh, my bad, he then decided to boycott the media. And so even when he's about to win a tournament or he finishes runner-up, he hasn't talked to the written press in weeks now.
I know.
And meanwhile, he's taking it out on the media for doing their job, and nobody did anything wrong. So, exactly. And it's stuff like that, then, that makes people want to even antagonize him even more. So I get that. But, again, I mean, I wish we could just kind of reset it and get back to golf.
Yes.
And I do wish that Brooks would come out a little and, you know, geez, just throw the guy a bone. You won, Brooks. Just throw the guy a bone. Tell the fans to lay off him. You know, they went to dinner the other night. Brooks was asked if he talked to Bryson. He just said no.
No.
I mean, just come on. Just, guys, act like adults and just put this behind you, especially with the Ryder Cup coming up in a couple weeks.
Yes. He said no, and, you know, He should have said just
brush it off. No.
Even if it was a lie, he should have said yes. Oh, by the
way,
you know, to make it look good.
Even more. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that I really have a bone to pick with him on, too. I'm so tired of Brooks Koepka's name, but I would really like him to speed up play. You see, I got home from shopping last Sunday, and I walked in. I was like, okay, tell me, where are we at? And there were just two guys on the course on 17.
Yes.
And I'm like, why is there only two guys on the course on 17? What's happened?
And you're talking about Bryson, obviously. I think you said Brooks, but Brooks actually plays pretty fast. But Bryson is surely, we know he's come under attack for his slow play. And, you know, that's another thing. He always defends himself. He never can just say that he does something wrong. Instead, it's, I walk faster to my ball and this and that, and I make up the time. It's like, no, we actually had a guy, Joel Beal, he went out and timed him on every shot. He wrote about it. Bryson, of course, got ticked off about this. But, I mean, these are facts. He takes a long time to play. Not that Patrick Cantlay is the quickest player either, I may add. But I agree, Danielle. It's overall, slow play is tough. It's bad enough for the pros, but I see guys now at my local courses who are doing things like the Jim Furyk line up the putt and then back away and restart. You know, doing these things, it's like, guys, this isn't your job. Just hit the ball. We're trying to, you know, have fun. And, you know, you should not be playing golf in more than 4 hours. You just shouldn't be. So it's unfortunate that the pros are setting a bad example with this that other people are following.
Well, let's end on a really positive note.
Okay,
Let's
do it.
Bubba Watson. He's our babe at Solheim Cup. What a guy. I mean, there's pictures of Bubba Watson kind of in recline on the ground, you know, like,
right.
And then there's the European team and the USA team. And it's just priceless. And he's being a caddy for Mina Harigay. I mean, it's wonderful.
I agree. And we first, you know what I really like about it, Danielle, is that we didn't really even hear anything about it until all of a sudden we saw these pictures and we're like, hey, Bubba's at Solheim Cup? Okay, that's kind of cool. And then like, wait, he actually looks like he's part of the team. Like, what is going on here? And sure enough, you know, like you said, he kind of has this unofficial or whatever it is. He's got a role with the team and he's there. He's not just there and walking around and signing autographs. I mean, he is involved. And I agree, that's very cool. His quotes have been fantastic about how, you know, the PGA Tour needs to do more to support the women. I think he said they're 50% of the game. We need to grow the game, and that's 50% that we need to grow. And what a great, thing that he's doing. And we've seen him do that at the drive, chip, and putt, too, at Augusta. I mean, of course, he's got a special relationship with Augusta National, having been a two-time Masters champ. But to go there every year, to be involved with that, with the boys and the girls, the junior golfers there. He's done a lot of good things. I know he gets some criticism as well for different things, but man, he's had what he's doing this week is fantastic, and hopefully others will follow in his footsteps.
Absolutely. Alex Myers, senior writer, Golf Digest Magazine. Alex writes one of my favorite golfdigest.com columns. It's called The Grind, and then he's got podcasts, and you can find it all. One of them is called Be Right. Just go to golfdigest.com and you'll find it. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on, Danielle. Take care. We'll talk again soon.
Good. Aloha. Aloha. Coming back now, we're going to dive into equipment right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24/7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Edie Lay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Idile parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Evile.
Power equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment. What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate for that must-have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiogolfclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com or call 808-220-1000.
Congratulations, Peter. You've won the Bridgestone E12 contact golf balls. And thank you, Tampa Pro Shop, for making it possible. That's tampaproshop.com. Coming up next, Jonathan Wall, equipment editor, golf.com.
Ah, here's the local rule sign. Keep it in the fairway. It speeds up play. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Jonathan Wall, managing equipment editor, Golf Magazine, golf.com, fully equipped podcast. That's his podcast. Welcome into the clubhouse, Jonathan.
Hey, Danielle. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you. Let's start off with Phil Mickelson. I'd love to know what your thoughts are on restricting the length of the driver, bringing it down to 46 inches. Do you think that's necessary?
Yeah, actually, I listened to his mini rant that was 3 minutes on social media and couldn't quite tell where he was going initially when he was talking about ice cream and the crime increasing in New York City. But I guess in the end, I did understand what he was talking about. You know, he starts off discussing reducing the driver length. You know, I really don't think that it's that big of a deal. I think, in my opinion, if the USGA is really considering reducing the length, I think they're trying to do it to take away from the fact that there might be some bigger issues here at play. One of them that he mentioned there at the end, which was the golf ball. You know, I think we've heard a lot of players, including Jack Nicklaus, talk about the importance of rolling the ball back. And he did bring up some very valid points. You know, the constructions of the golf balls have improved tremendously over the last two decades. And, you know, today's ball does a lot of things that, you know, if you make a mistake with it, they were magnified with the older balls, the wound golf balls from the past. So I think that, you know, he kind of buried the lead there at the end. But, yeah, I don't really think that shafts are that big of a deal. I mean, nobody on tour is using 48 right now. They'll use, you know, just below the legal limit to win the PGA Championship. But for the most part, tour pros know that distance, when you're increasing shaft length, it comes with a lot of potential issues, one of them being accuracy. And I don't really think it's ever going to be that big of a deal that you're going to see guys playing 48 regularly out on tour.
Yeah. I was just thinking of the guy 6'9" tall that he, and he's a golfer. Would you have to ask for special dispensation?
If you might. I mean, seriously, what happens? I mean, Bryson has been talking about this for years now. You know, the fact that there's going to be a guy that's going to come along who's going to be built like an NBA player, who's going to be able to swing it faster than anybody on tour, who's going to routinely hit it 350-plus yards, and that's going to be the guy who's going to change the game. But you're right. I mean, what happens if there's a guy that's 6'9" and he needs a 48-inch driver shaft? It's a very valid question, and I think we might get there at some point. I think we might see somebody. I mean, the tour pros keep getting taller, and I have a feeling we're going to see somebody that's like 6'7" come along that's just going to be ripping the golf ball.
Wow. What kind of golf course are we going to put him on?
Yeah. Not the ones they're playing on tour, because they're probably going to be a little bit too short, even for today's standards.
So, talk about golf clubs. Rory McIlroy's 3-wood disappears and then reappears mysteriously. Can you give us the insight on that?
This is one of my favorite stories. And it's like, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because Rory revealed at the BMW Championship that he exaggerated the story a little bit, Daniel. Let's just put it that way. He told the assembled media that he had thrown his 3-wood onto the New Jersey Turnpike. Now, I did some digging and found out that that really isn't the case, because from the ninth tee where he said he was, you would have to have an Avengers level arm to be able to get a 3-wood to the turnpike. So I kind of figured it was in the trees. I posted some pictures on social media of where I thought the club might be. And sure enough, the Liberty National, we talked to them and they said, yeah, we've actually had to send security out there because we've got guys trying to scale the fence. We have eagle-eyed golfers with binoculars looking in the trees for the club. They even sent their own maintenance crew out there a couple times for about 45 minutes to an hour at a time. They were scaling the trees, trying to find this club, and it never showed. And so we talked about it on our podcast, and we just kind of assumed, look, there was probably a golfer who was following along with Rory's group. Rory throws the club into the trees. He goes to retrieve it. Yeah. Maybe he's not on social media, and he's got the club in his possession. Well, sure enough, Ida blows through New York, and Mother Nature dislodges the golf club from a tree. And one of the guys from the maintenance crew just happened to be out there doing some work, and there's Rory's 3-wood just sitting in a bush. And so they have it. It was such a funny story. We've heard of players before getting rid of clubs that they no longer want because they're not obedient. But that was a first for me. We had an auction house offering $5,000 if somebody found the 3-wood and nobody could find it. And then again, Mother Nature ends up saying, you know what, forget you guys. I'm gonna do it myself.
If you can't find it, I'll find it for you. So then Rory McIlroy hops into his jet and speeds off to his garage at home before going from the BMW down to the Tour Championship, and goes into his garage and just pulls out some old junk that's been laying around to fill in his bag. That I thought was hysterical. He's taking his jet, but he's going in his garage. So what did he find?
This perfectly gives you a snapshot of what it's like to be a tour pro. They finish on a Monday, and Rory's able to jet back down to Florida, rummage through his club closet to find a new driver with a bunch of shafts that he brought back to Maryland to test. What he called a new old 3-wood, one that he had used previously. Both TaylorMade products, both Sim 2, which is their new driver at Fairway Wood Line, or current driver at Fairway Wood Line, I should say. And then goes in and pulls out a spider putter that he's used in the past. Yeah, he just rummaged through his stuff, and I think he was just kind of done with it. He's like, you know what, forget it. I'm not going to test anything out in the trucks. I'm just going to grab some of my old things that have worked in the past and brings them with him to Maryland and tests some 3-woods and tests a couple drivers and has the putter. And I think the putter, Danielle, is actually a pretty interesting story because, Rory's been kind of bouncing back and forth between a blade putter, which is technically like what you see a lot like Tiger Woods using. It's Ping initially designed this putter. It was called an Answer. And a lot of manufacturers, because the patent expired, they're able to use a similar shape. That's why you see a lot of putters that look very similar to the original Ping Answer, which is one of the most iconic designs. And Rory was using a Scotty Cameron that had a similar blade style, Answer style design, as some people call it. But he just struggled with it. One of the interesting things that he said was he's kind of gotten to the point now where he realizes that the good days of the blade are really good, but the bad days are really bad. And he's even admitting, like, I should be using a mallet. I can use a blade putter when I'm at home practicing, but when I'm showing up to a tournament, I should be using a mallet. And I think it's really kind of eye-opening to hear a tour pro admit that even they don't think a guy who has 4 majors is admitting that he shouldn't be using a blade putter. He should be using a mallet. And,
wow.
And I think that the average golfer could probably learn a lot from some of those insights.
But that's interesting, though. Practice with one that's really hard and unforgiving so that when you use the mallet, it's a snap. I mean, it makes total sense. And that takes us to Tiger Woods' backup putter selling for $393,000, his backup putter. But what I would, and also an answer style, and which makes me very happy because that's my favorite putter. And his backup looked like it was hardly ever used, because I saw your photos of both. And I'm talking to Jonathan Wall, managing equipment editor at golf.com. And I saw your photos on Twitter. And my God, the one that he uses all the time was so beat up. But there's this spot at the perfect strike zone that it looks like there's a little indentation. Tell us about that.
Well, when you use the putter as long as Tiger has used that putter, yeah. You know, you were expecting perfection. I mean, it's that he's worn that mark in the center of the face just from all the putts that he's hit over the years. And if you were to look at, you know, the most iconic golf clubs in the history of the game, you know, I would struggle to find one that's more iconic than Tiger's Scotty Cameron, because it won 14 major championships, but it sort of spawned this like Scotty Cameron mania. 97 was when Tiger used the Scotty Cameron Torellium. It was the only other putter beyond the one that he has been using that he won a major championship with. And that one was really, I guess I should say, when Scotty mania kind of exploded. But every time he used this putter from that point forward, it was like people were saying, I have to get, they called it a pro platinum. I have to get a pro platinum putter because it's the closest thing that I'm going to be able to get to Tiger's, you know, Scotty Cameron Newport 2 GSS, the one that he's won 14 majors with. And so, yeah, it's a putter that he just, he's used other ones over the years. When he was Nike, he used the Nike putter for a while. People were still clamoring for him to go back to the Scotty, and he's used, you know, he's even used mallets when he was with TaylorMade, and nothing has really quite filled that void like his Scotty Cameron. And of course, you know, his Masters win came with the Scotty Cameron in the bag. So it's a special putter for him. And the reason why, again, you mentioned that the backup didn't have any marks on it.
Yeah.
The reason why it's so special is because it's the closest thing anybody's ever going to get to the actual thing.
Got it.
And it came from a really important year, 2002. That's the year after Tiger completed the Tiger Slam. People within the equipment industry have you know, hypothesized and said there might be only 7 backup putters that were ever produced for Tiger. So it's not like there are a bunch of these floating around out there. And this one comes with a letter from Scotty Cameron basically confirming that it was built as a backup for Tiger. And the one that sold previously last year for $153,000, I believe, did not have that letter. So it's got some cool provenance with it. And just the fact that it was one that Tiger might have rolled some putts with is pretty special.
So you think the real gamer will end up in the museum, you know, when he goes into the World Golf Hall of Fame?
No chance. I don't think Tiger will ever let go of that putter. I think it's going to always be in his possession. I would venture a guess that if it were to ever make it to the open market, which I don't think it ever will, it would probably sell north of $5 million for the putter now.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's for sure $5 million, but north of that, I think is a real possibility.
You know, I'm an okay putter, and I won't give up mine, so I can't imagine no way. I totally understand. Now, the guy who's on fire in the land of putting is Patrick Cantlay. What is he using?
So Patrick is using a Scotty Cameron as well, but he uses a mallet version called a Phantom X5. And it has these wings. I always kind of jokingly call it the Batman putter.
Yes.
Just because it has these wings on the side. Now, the wings actually have a real purpose, and they allow the putter to have additional weight out towards the perimeter of the putter head. So it keeps it from being able to twist when you're putting. Now, for like good golfers, that's a great thing to have. For like mid handicappers, 15, 20s. It's a great thing to have because you're typically struggling to keep that putter online, and any sort of twisting at impact is going to cause the ball to go offline. So it allows you to have a better chance of hitting a putt and at least scaring the hole and not, you know, blowing it you know, 3 or 4 feet to the left or to the right. So that's the reason why a lot of players use a mount. Now, Patrick actually used it for the exact same reason. It's just it's more stable than the blade putter that he'd been using for most of his career. But he made a couple of interesting changes to it. He switched to a Super Stroke Flat Toe 1.0, so it's a little bit larger grip. And he actually, just from like kind of looking down at it, he adjusted the grip about 1 degree open, just because when they have the grip installed on his putter perfectly straight, it looked, the face at address looked a little bit shut to him. So he just kind of naturally just adjusts the grip a little bit, 1 degree open, just to kind of give it that feeling like it looks square to him. And then he added a small sight line, just a little line from the top line of the putter to help with alignment. And then he added a line on his golf ball as well. And he even said that the reason why he finally started adding these lines to the top line and the ball was just because he felt like it was helping him on shorter putts. And again, you know, average golfers add lines to their golf ball, and they might even have a line on their putter in some, whether it's on the top line or the flange. So it's something that we all do. It's not just something that the tour pros are only privy to.
Yeah, and you know, what you said about when you look down, it's the most critical view that you have when you're setting up. I mean, looking down and liking what you see, feeling confident with what you see, you've got to make sure. And I think, you know, that's part of club fitting. I need to talk to you at length sometime about club fitting. But I really like this article that I wrote in, I mean, that I wrote, that you wrote, I think. Finding the ball that matches your game and your clubs is all part of the club fitting process. Ping's Ballnamic Virtual Ball Fitting Tool. Wow.
Yeah.
This is
the future of the game, Danielle. You know, we talk a lot about on our podcast, and we write stories on golf.com and in Golf Magazine about the importance of getting fit for golf clubs. And I feel like golfers nowadays are a lot more inclined to get fit because golf clubs as a whole are very expensive. And if you want to have something that it has a shaft and, a profile and design, you mentioned like looking down at a putter and liking what you see, you want the same thing with a set of irons or a driver. You also need a shaft in there that's actually going to work for your swing speed and what you're trying to accomplish, whether you're a golfer that spins it too much and you need a stiffer tip on your irons to kind of reduce some of that spin, or you are somebody that needs more spin. But it's important to work with a certified club fitter. Now, we talk about the importance of getting fit for your golf clubs. One of the things that constantly gets overlooked is what kind of golf ball is best for those clubs. You're spending, maybe $1,000, $1,500 on a custom set of irons. Like, why would you not optimize the ball to your clubs? And that's where Ping is kind of coming in. They've been doing a lot of this flight analysis at what they call their proving ground at Ping headquarters. They test golf balls in perfectly still conditions at all hours of the day. I talked to Marty Jurtson from Ping. He mentioned that they get up at 4 or 5 a.m. sometimes just because it's the perfect wind conditions to test golf balls. And they're able to take all this information from all these balls that they've tested over the years, and they put it into this system, and you can log in to, it's called ballfitting.com. And for $40, you get access to their ball fitting website for 24 hours. Now, that gives you, in that 24 hours, you can move the levers around. And what I mean by levers is you can, it asks you a bunch of questions. It asks for your zip code, so it knows the usual temperature and the elevation that you play at, because that's really important. It asks about your swing speed, how far you carry the golf ball. It can actually give you a lot of these numbers, even if you don't know your numbers offhand. It has some little areas where you can plug in, like I hit a 7-iron this far, I hit my driver this far on average, and then it'll spit out pretty close to what your numbers would be on a launch monitor. So you go through all of that. You also have some questions asking about, like, how important is it to have a golf ball that feels really soft or firm coming off the putter face? How important is greenside spin to you? Do you have flyer lies a lot? And if you don't know what these terms mean, they actually have a little button you can click, and it gives you a descriptor of, like, what is a flyer lie?
Oh,
why is,
good.
You know, putter feel important? This is a great website. And, again, anybody can use it. It's not like you have to have a code or anything like that. You just go to ballfitting.com. And when you get done with it, it gives you three golf balls that are would be great for your game, and then two additional ones that were kind of on the fringe. And, you know, maybe you'll find that you're playing the right ball for your game. Maybe you find that you're not playing the right ball for your game. And that's why I think this website is so great, is it just it arms the golfer with more info. So when they go for a fitting, they know maybe like a couple of golf balls to test with their new golf clubs. And they're also allowing this new fitting software to be available with certified fitters. So you might go to a fitter and they might even already have access to Ballnamic. So, this is the future, I think, for fitting. It's just finally combining all the pieces together to give golfers a much better picture of the ball in the club they should be playing.
That's awesome. Ballfitting.com. That's it. Go find out, because Jonathan Wall is really on the inside, managing equipment editor at golf.com, Golf Magazine. Fully Equipped is his podcast. We can find it there, right?
Of course. Go check it out. We're on all the major podcast sites, Spotify, Apple, Podbean. Check it out.
Check it out. Okay, that's Fully_Equipped. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Jonathan.
Thanks, Danielle. It's always fun.
We'll talk soon. Aloha. Ron Cyrak is with us next, and we're going Solheim Cup. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Aloha Power Equipment has moved from Sand Island to Evilay. Their new superstore is open at 500 Alakava, located across from Home Depot's Evilay parking structure. Honda, Maruyama, Shindaiwa, Echo, Milwaukee, Steel, riding mowers, robotic mowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, blowers, they've got it all. Aloha. Waipahu and now Evilay.
Power Equipment.
We put power at your fingertips. Aloha Power Equipment.
On the road with Little Mike.
Nice door. Nice door. Hey, that's a beautiful door.
Did you sell that garage door, Dad?
Yes, Diane. Rainer Garage Doors has done many fine homes.
Can Rainer do other designs?
Our custom manufacturing means Rainer can build any door an architect can design. We can even use our customers' wood to provide a perfect match with the rest of the house.
What about people who just need security and privacy?
Rainer's full line of doors means we can provide a competitively priced door for every need.
So people get a free consultation, top quality doors, and a fair price. Call my dad at 676-3667.
You just gotta call my daddy now! 676-3667.
Rainer Garage Doors.
That's Rainer Doors. KORL, YNI, Honolulu.
Got my new book, 3 Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Ron Cyrak, award-winning writer, Golf Channel contributor, PGA of America Lifetime Achievement and Journalism Award recipient, LPGA Media Excellence Award, and he's author with, of course, Lynn Marriott and Pia Nelson, a Vision 54 trilogy, Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, published in 8 languages. Welcome into the clubhouse, Ron.
Danielle, thanks for having me on. Always a pleasure.
It is. And this morning's foursomes, kind of threw me because, you know, everybody was talking about watching the Korda sisters and how good they were going to be, you know, blowing everybody away. We always have that problem. We have such high expectations, and sometimes people can't deliver at the time. We're 3.5 to 1/2. Have we started playing four ball yet?
Yeah, the four ball's out there now, and things aren't going that much better for the Americans in the four ball. They're trailing in 3 of the 4 matches and all square in the 4th match. Europe is doing exactly what they need to do, which is to get out to a hot start. That's particularly important when you're playing on the road. You know, you're playing an away game here. But also, the Americans traditionally do better in the singles matches, and Europe needs to have a lead going into the Monday singles. And their performance this morning was really, really impressive. To get 3.5 not only did they get 3.5 points, but Salim Boutier and Georgia Hall were two down with two to play against Ali Ewing and Danielle Kang and have that match. And then Charlie Hall and Emily Christine Pedersen were two down with four to play to Lexi Thompson and Brittany Altomare, and then won three of the last four holes to win a full point there. So it looked like the worst that was going to happen for the U.S., what it was going to be a 2-2 tie in the morning, ended up being 3.5 to 1/2.
That was amazing. I was able to watch a lot of it, and I was really impressed at how composed they kept themselves, the European team, how they just kept putting on the gas, steady, steady, never letting it off. You know, it was really something to watch. I was surprised that Pat Hirsch, captain U.S. team, split up the Korda sisters for this afternoon's four ball. Were you?
Well, you know, they won their two foursomes matches in 2019 paired together, and they have their four ball match. So I think what she was looking to do is squeeze 2 points out of them instead of 1 point out of them. You know, give Jessica a bit of a rest.
Mm.
But this is a huge. This is a blow for the U.S. that the court has never had the lead in their morning foursomes match against Mel Reid and Leona Maguire. And I think that a huge match for the U.S. in the afternoon is Nellie Korda and Ali Ewing against Mattsson and Sagstrom. It would be a real blow for the U.S. if Nellie Korda, the number one player in the world, loses both of her points today.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That would be actually shocking, considering how she's performed. But it's been a long season, hasn't it?
Well, it has. And you know, Danielle, here's another thing that we tend to forget. And I think that this is sort of a trap we fall into every time we go into the Solheim Cup and even the Ryder Cup. The bigger names are on the American side, no question about it. The Americans have 6 of their 12 players are in the top 25 in the world ranking. Only one of the Europeans is in the top 25 in the Rolex rankings. But 10 of the Americans are in the top 50. 9 of the Europeans are in the top 50. So while the bigger names are on the American side, there's a lot of really, really talented and skilled players on the European side. And the other thing they have that's an advantage for them, and it's particularly true in foursomes, they are more used to those team formats. They play that way more in Europe. Foursomes is alternate shot. It's almost never played in the United States. It's played a lot in Europe. And the same thing with four-ball matches. In match play, you have a different mindset. You got to play way more aggressively than you do in stroke play. And I think the Europeans make that transition better than the Americans do.
It's interesting that, you know, we as a country consider ourselves team. You know, we're in this together. And yet we tend to glorify individual performances rather than team performances. And Europeans tend to really work together to be victorious, and we see that often in Ryder Cups and in Solheim Cups, where we have that sense of camaraderie, the coming together, and maybe it's the underdog thing. You know, I'm going to beat Goliath, going to bring him down, and that's a great thing to feel. You know, that really fuels you up.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. I mean, look, it amazes me that in the Ryder Cup, no matter how many times Europe wins the Ryder Cup, they seem to always come in with that chip on their shoulder that we're the underdog. Everyone's underrating us. And I think that is part of it, where the Americans always look like the on-paper favorite in both Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup. And then you find out the tournament's not played on paper. It's played on grass. And the other thing is, there is, and you sort of alluded to this, there's more of a tradition in Europe of team competitions, World Cup soccer, and all the sorts of, they play country against country in golf team matches, national teams, and they play way more of that there, and they do get into that team mindset and are able to put aside the individual mentality of approach to the game. And I do think that down the road, the fact that in the NCAA college tournaments, they are now playing the team finals in more of a match play format is going to translate to more victories for the Americans down the road. But part of what we see, both Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup, is the Europeans are more used to this team format.
That's great. And it's great to hear that on the collegiate level, which is kind of like our, you know, feeder tour into the next tour to the next tour, that they're going to start using that, you know, a more match play format so that the kids can get used to it and learn how to excel there while playing singles matches and excelling on that level as well. I didn't realize that the U.S. side uses the pod system and for the Solheim Cup. Paul Azinger's pod system used in the 2008 Ryder Cup. It didn't work that well. Is it more suited for a kind of a woman's point of view or getting together? I'm just trying to psychologize this.
Well, it worked for Azinger the first time around when he used it. You know, it hasn't, but it is essentially what the pod system does is breaks your 12 players into groups of four, and each are assigned an assistant captain, and that's their pod, and they sort of spend their time practicing together and getting to know each other together, and then they tend to be played within that. Sometimes what happens is if it may very well be happening this year, you get behind early, you get way behind early, it blows up your pods, and you got to start pairing outside your pod to try to find winning combinations. You don't really know who's hot this week, who's playing well, who's on the top of their form until they start playing, until they get out there and actually get in competition. And this first day is sort of feeling that out. If you notice, both captains have gotten all 12 of their players into the competition today. That doesn't always happen. Katrina Matthews got two of her rookies. She's got four rookies, and Patterson has three. She got two of her rookies right out in the morning session. But what they're doing is both captains are feeling out their teams, and they're looking to say, okay, who's playing well, and who do I need to hide going forward?
A lot of times, like I think Jennifer Kupcho, you know, a rookie, right? And was she feeling the nerves? And the answer is no, not really. I feel really comfortable with these players. They're making me feel comfortable and I'm comfortable. But do you really know what those nerves are at a Solheim Cup or a Ryder Cup until you get on the first tee and start playing for country?
Absolutely no. I mean, everybody that I've talked to, both men and women, when they talk about Ryder Cup, Solheim Cup, say they are never more nervous than they are when they step onto the first tee in the Ryder Cup or the Solheim Cup in that team competition. It's an incredibly different atmosphere because it's not just about you. You know, if you don't perform well in any tournament, the only person that you're letting down is yourself. If you perform poorly in a Solheim Cup, you're letting down the person you're paired with that particular day, and you're letting down the other 11 players on your team. They don't see it that way. You know, they know that we're all in this together, but you feel it that way. So it's a very, very special pressure. And anybody who says that they don't feel the pressure there hasn't experienced it yet, because once you've had to make that walk onto the first tee in that just tunnel of noise, you realize you're experiencing something you've never been through before in your life.
Yeah, those Solheim Cup fans are getting really hot, too, aren't they?
You know, and it's interesting because the atmosphere this year is slightly affected by COVID. Not as many Europeans have been able to make the trip. There's usually a lot more good-natured chanting back and forth between the bleachers on the first hole, where the Americans will be on one side, the Europeans on the other, and they'll take turns singing songs and chanting back and forth to each other with good-natured ribbing. There's a little bit less of that because not as many of the Europeans were able to make the trip. But still, from all indications are that the place is jammed, and it's going to be intense for the next 3 days.
Yeah, I've heard there's 100,000. That's a lot of people to be coming through over the 3 days.
They were having 15,000 people show up there for practice rounds.
Wow.
And that's the kind of atmosphere it's been.
Yeah, that's exciting. Fanboy Bob Watson, I was surprised. I didn't know he was going to be a caddy for someone, Mina Harigay, at Solheim Cup. Did you?
Well, yeah, I knew he was going to show up. They had a celebrity competition early in the week, but he's staying throughout the competition. And what we're starting to see a little bit more out there is the kind of support among PGA Tour players for the LPGA players that we've seen by NBA players for WNBA players. And, you know, Michelle Wee, whose husband is an executive in the NBA for the Golden State Warriors, has been really key in that. You know, she got involved with the tie-dye hoodie project, and she got Golden State Warrior basketball players to wear it to support it. And the NBA players have stepped up big time to support the WNBA players, and I think we're seeing more of that spill on over to golf now, and more PGA Tour players, even the ones who aren't there, are on social media tweeting about it. They're watching it, and they're commenting on it, and that's great for the women's game, and it's great for the overall game of golf.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I was going through some notes about what's coming, and I understand there will be 3 Solheim Cups in the next 4 years. How does that work out?
Yeah, they're going to, because the Ryder Cup was canceled last year and postponed to this year, and then they're going to keep the Ryder Cup now in odd number years. The Solheim Cup is going to go back to even-numbered years. And that was, so there'll be one in 23 and 24 back-to-back. 23 is going to be in Spain, and 24 will come back to the United States. But the same thing happened after 9/11, when the Ryder Cup got canceled that year, and they pushed it to the next year, and then they had a Solheim Cup in 2002 and 2003 back-to-back, and then they went to odd years. Now it's going back the other way, back to even years.
So how was Inverness? What tournament was played at Inverness?
They've had 4 U.S. Opens and 2 PGAs there.
Yeah,
it's a historic venue. Oh, they played, the LPGA played there. It was the first tournament back from COVID last
year.
That's
right. That's right.
It was the Drive-On Championship. They played 2 events in Toledo. They played the Drive-On Championship at Inverness, and then they went to the course that they normally play for the Marathon Classic in Toledo. So they went out there, and for COVID reasons, they hunkered down and bubbled in one city for 2 weeks. But they played at Inverness, and it's a great old historic course. And I love the setup that they have this event. They've made it a birdie friendly setup, but at the same time, it's an old Donald Ross course, and it's one of those golf courses where you never want to be a putting from above the hole.
Yeah, I Donald Ross is amazing, and I'm not sure now. Did the LPGA switch numbers 9 and 18?
Yes, they did. They flipped it. Interestingly enough, they flipped it because they thought the 18th hole was such a good hole that they wanted it to be involved in all the matches, so they made it the 9th hole.
Oh.
But today, in the morning foursomes matches, every match went to the 18th hole. That's pretty cool. You don't see that often, that all 4 morning matches went all 18 holes.
Wow, that's really something. You're on the road soon for, the Legends, right, next week?
They are, yeah, the 10th, yeah. So I guess that's coming up on Friday, I guess it is.
Yeah.
They're coming and playing not far from where I live on Cape Cod, and it's... I was just texting with the U.S. Solheim Cup captain Pat Hurst about that last night about whether or not she was going to come to play in that, and she will be there. So it's always fun for me to go to Legends events because I get to see all the players that I started out with 30 years ago when I was covering golf.
And, of course, you're not a legend. No, you're way too young. That's how we all think. You know, I'm too young. Annika Sorenstam, will she be playing in the Legends?
She is playing in that, which is that fascinates me. It's going to be really, you know, by winning the U.S. Senior Women's Open, where she was phenomenal. I mean, she won,
yes,
by 8 strokes.
Her
distance control with her irons was as good as it was 13 years ago when she retired. But by winning the U.S. Senior Women's Open, she is exempt into next year's U.S. Women's Open at Pine Needles, where she won in 1996. So there's no way Annika's going to accept that exemption unless she commits to playing enough events to get ready for it. And I'm thinking that she's going to play a couple more Legends events. It could mean that we see her play a half dozen LPGA events next year before the U.S. Open. I would not be surprised.
Wow. That's something, because...
It would be cool. It would be really cool.
It would be cool. For the players now, it'd be exceptional. And for her to be able to put herself up against the young whippersnappers... And that would be great to see, you know? I mean, charge.
Well, you know, the first thing, when I went down to the range on Tuesday at the U.S. Women's Open, I watched her hit about 5 golf balls, and I thought to myself, holy moly, she's been practicing. Because you could see she had worked really, really hard to get ready for that tournament. She didn't come to the U.S. Senior Women's Open to finish second. She came there to win it, and she did. And I think it got some of those competitive juices going again.
Yeah.
And her kids are old enough now that she can say to them, hey, mommy's going to take a couple hours off to practice. And
yeah.
And they'll get that. So I would not be surprised if we see her play a few LPGA events next year in the first half of the year in the run-up to the Women's Open.
Well, Ron Syrak, Golf Channel contributor, LPGA, fan of par excellence. You're scheduled on the show next week, just so you know, just a reminder. I'll put that on the refrigerator. Thank you for being on the show. Aloha.
Talk to you next week.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you to our sponsors, Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island Store. They've moved. And they're open. Aloha Power Equipment's new superstore, megastore, across from Home Depot Evile parking structure. I always think it is right across Everside of Awakawa, across from Costco. You'll find all the Aloha Power Equipment you've come to expect to find. The riding mowers, the robotic mowers. Maybe you didn't even know they have them. Those are those sloped areas where you wouldn't want to ride on one of those things. You'd fall off, but you can get the robot to do it. Chainsaws, weed whackers, generators, a whole lot more. Aloha Power Equipment has it all. The Waipahu store is open. And the, yes, Awakawa store. We put power at your fingertips. Rainer Doors, HawaiiDoor.com. Go there. To beautify your home, protect your home from the elements, or keep your loved ones safe, get a Rainer garage door, raised panel, recessed panel, carriage house designs, flush styling with unmatched strength and durability, and quiet. Have a new garage door installed, a Rainer garage door, an overhead door. Call 808-676-DOOR. Tell them Danielle sent you. HawaiiDoor.com. Sioux Electric has been a leader for 40 years, and they're looking for a few good electricians because they're busy. Call 842-1944, extension 23. Sioux Electric, where they do it right. And MD Restoration, flood, fire disasters, you need help from MD Restoration. At any time of the day, just right away, they'll be there 24/7. If disaster strikes your home or office, call MD Restoration. Their number is 528-3434. I'm Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.